Time to play the game!
Welcome back into the game, hour two. John and Tyler here. Mitch is off doing Manhattan High basketball. Sounds like they're running a little bit behind. We were set for a scheduled 6 o'clock tip time for Manhattan High in the semifinals of the Mid-America Classic in McPherson. So we'll take you through until 6 o'clock. We're going to have a full second hour here. You can't be serious at 5:50 before we're done. A little bit more on the SEC Big 12 Challenge at 5:25. It's a pretty boring list of games if you're a Big 12 team. Bruce Weber's not very happy about it either. You'll hear from him. We're also going to hear a little bit from him just in a moment, this segment, because I think the motivation level for both of these teams is an interesting thing to examine. And my answer as to who should be more motivated or who will be more motivated in this game might differ from what conventional wisdom would say. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you got questions or comments today, as always, you can tweet them to the game KMAN as well. Unfortunately, we do need to update you again on this story breaking from Baylor. And literally, this is like just happened. I'm seeing the Dallas Morning News story right now. Even just says updated at 4:45. They updated with some more information here. But a Baylor University graduate who says she was raped by football players in 2013 sued the university today. Her lawsuit includes an allegation that 31 Baylor football players committed 52 acts of rape, including 5 gang rapes between 2011 and 2014. The biggest news aspect of that is the estimate far exceeds what school officials at Baylor had already provided. It far exceeds what was in the Pepper Hamilton report that we heard so much about, that was the law firm that went ahead and investigated Baylor the first time around. So this woman that is pressing this lawsuit was a member of the Baylor Bruins, which was like a, I don't know, how would you best describe that? Like, they're like hostesses for recruits,
yeah,
more or less, it sounds like. And she was involved in some of these incidents. I mean, you can read the entire, not the entire lawsuit necessarily, but a lot of the pretty gory details. The Dallas Morning News, dallasnews.com, you can find that. So it's not good. This is much more fallout for Baylor. Obviously, this just piles on with even worse allegations from everything else that had already happened there. And I don't really know. It's hard to judge. To me, look, for one, like, I hate having to just make a rash judgment, rash hot take, quote unquote, after seeing this, because I haven't really had time to digest it and process it. And it, honestly, part of the aspect here to me that's hard is so much has already happened at Baylor. We've heard so much about so many different allegations and bad things that were happening. It just becomes difficult, as terrible as it is, to like separate out, all right, how much different is this? Why is this different? Those are all the questions I was trying to answer for myself, because we've already, you know, come to the kind of conclusion, decision, whatever you want to say, that, you know, Baylor had some awful things going around then. What does this do to really change a whole lot of things? Will this bring about extra change? Will this bring about punishment from the Big 12, punishment from the NCAA? That to me is the question that comes now from this.
Well, I think it's obviously horrible, the details that come out here. And I am reminded of, if you're talking about the punishment phase of this, and of course I'm talking about this being proven that these allegations are indeed accurate, but I'm reminded of when Penn State got the punishment from the NCAA. A lot of people didn't like that because it was punishing who was currently in the program. And then they actually ended up taking away a lot of that punishment later. But if you're the NCAA or the Big 12, right now is the opportunity to stick it to Baylor and not have to worry about that, because this giant recruiting class that they've put together in the last 2 weeks, they're not there yet. You wouldn't really be punishing Baylor's current football program, because there really isn't one in terms of the players that are actually there right now. There are not very many of them. The whole coaching staff is just got there, and they could definitely get out of their contracts. So the longer this stretches out, the less chance there is that Baylor actually gets something, and that would just be horrible for them to actually get away with this over a 4-year period of time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a complicated situation. It's a complicated situation. Just as I thought the Penn State scandal was at that point in time with how you administer punishment in that situation.
And you'll recall, and this isn't me, you know, going all I told you so and everything like that, but our pretty heated debate about if Art Briles would have a job in 2017. And I said, unless, you know, something really changes and he has a huge press conference that just he breaks down in tears and apologizes, I don't see it happening. Still don't see it happening. I'm amazed that Kendall Briles has a job at this hour. We'll check in another hour because I can't imagine that he would escape this at Florida Atlantic. But I don't see things getting any better for Art Briles trying to repair his career.
Well, I mean, the other aspect of this, too, to me then becomes, and I'm not trying to stick up for anybody here. I'm just playing, I guess, devil's advocate and just, again, reacting naturally to a question that I have. It's a lawsuit that has not been ruled on at this point in time. These are allegations.
Yeah.
You know, they could theoretically go allege anything.
Yeah,
so
you can file a lawsuit that gravity doesn't exist.
Right. And I say that more in response to, like, the Kendall Briles and whether or not he has a job thing. Like, do they go and just fire him, snap decision, because there is an allegation just of a quote? You know, I mean, it's not even like an allegation of a specific act necessarily for Kendall Briles. Like, they have they have a quote from Kendall Briles. It's just a quote that he supposedly said to someone. I mean, you're getting into pretty hearsay type of things to go ahead and just snap decision, fire a guy. Now, maybe they just don't want to deal with it, and therefore that becomes the impetus to do that.
Kendall Briles certainly wouldn't be the only one in trouble. I mean, we just saw Phil Bennett get picked up. Arizona State, I believe, is where he's coaching now. What are the impacts there? Because this lawsuit certainly alleges that this was a program-wide and university-wide thing that absolutely everybody knew about it, and not just knew about it, but in some ways contributed to, with paying for women to go to hotels with recruits and everything like that.
True. I think Kendall Briles would be more in the line of fire just because they did have the specific quote from him there about, it was like, let's see if I can pull it up here real quick.
Do you like white women? Because we have a lot of them at Baylor and they like football players.
Yeah, there you go. Basically, you almost nailed that word for word as I do look at it here. So, again, that's the latest from this afternoon. Another lawsuit filed against Baylor. This one from a former Baylor Bruin, like a hostess with the football program. She says that she was raped by football players in 2013. The overall lawsuit includes an allegation that 31 Baylor football players committed 52 acts of rape, including 5 gang rapes between 2011 and 2014. That's much higher than the number from the Pepper Hamilton report that was initially done, and higher than anything that Baylor officials ever said had happened there in Waco. So, crazy. It's a terrible story. It's another one of those stories that, like, I get fatigued from just because it's depressing to think about and talk about, but it's back. And probably going to be here for a little while because of all that in Waco. Again, no easy transition from that. Like, there's no way to do that. But K-State is playing a basketball game against Tennessee tomorrow at 1. And they are coming off the loss at Iowa State, obviously, which was a heartbreaker once again. Meanwhile, Kentucky went down at the hands of Tennessee midweek, which nobody really saw coming. And so, therefore, I think you would look at it cut and dried and say, okay, on paper, you have a Tennessee team that's coming off the biggest win that they've had in probably years. I would just say that offhand without going through everything for them, but certainly their biggest win of the season. Now they've got K-State. For them, it's also a weird trip outside the conference. Probably means a little bit more to them because they could knock off a tournament team here in K-State, but still, it's a letdown from Kentucky. K-State should be fired up, right, because they lost earlier this week. There's a lot of things that would point you towards, all right, in the motivation game here, depending on how much stock you actually put in that, motivation game, it should favor the Wildcats. They should be the more motivated team. Here was Bruce Weber with his thoughts on the motivation levels heading into this one from the teleconference yesterday.
It'll be interesting, the mindset. They're coming off a pretty big high, and then we had a tough loss the other day. So hopefully the motivation will be on our side.
Like I said, you would think, based on conventional wisdom, that would be the case. But I actually think it's pretty much a wash who should be the more motivated team going into it, because nobody on the Big 12 side is happy about the Big 12 SEC Challenge being right here. The SEC teleconference this week was spent with SEC coaches, including Frank Martin, campaigning for, hey, the SEC should be getting more respect. So I think they do view this as more of an opportunity to earn respect. Big 12 has been the number one RPI league the last couple of years in college basketball. I mean, respect has been earned. They don't really need that. K-State doesn't need to go play Tennessee. The win is not going to do, as we've discussed ad nauseum, a whole lot for your tournament resume in the positive column. I don't think anyone's fired up about playing Tennessee. It's not a name program. You're going on the road. This is when things turn into such a grind. K-State's beat up. Dean Wade's a game-time decision. Kamau Stokes has the ankle that he's dealing with. I would not expect a real great environment as far as things are concerned in Knoxville for the game, so you may have to bring some of your own energy. I think because of all that, it's hard for me to see K-State coming out really with a whole lot of fire necessarily, just purely based on, all right, rah-rah, let's go get this game. I mean, they may still be able to win the game, play sharp, but I don't buy into it would be because they have some big motivational advantage here.
But yeah, part of the problem is that the Big 12 is in a challenge with the wrong league. I mean, you do the challenge, in theory, to determine which league is better, right? But there isn't any doubt, and I would imagine that a lot of SEC fans probably would feel the same way. There is no doubt that the Big 12 is a better basketball league than the SEC. That's why I would prefer for the Big 12, if they have to do something like this, do it with the Big 10. Do it with the ACC. Maybe you could do it with the Pac-12. But the SEC is Kentucky, a couple other decent teams like a Florida and South Carolina, and then a whole bunch of what I deem just another team, which is like Alabama and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Tennessee and Vanderbilt and all those teams that are not NCAA tournament teams. They're actually NIT teams, basically to a T, and that's why this thing doesn't have very many people fired up, because it's not going to decide anything. The only teams that have something to gain are SEC teams, pretty much.
Well, I get it, and I kind of, you know, that's really where we're going in the next segment, because Bruce Weber is going to voice some of his frustrations, I think, with how this all got set up the way it did. But in the individual matchup, K-State v. Tennessee, Tennessee could play off of that, you would think, come out with more of a chip on their shoulder, I suppose, because they want to go prove something. But I think what matters more for Tennessee and what may have them a little bit more in gear is some of what we heard in Hour 1 from Mike Strange, who covers Tennessee basketball, and that is just that they've been playing better hoops lately. They had a good week last week beating Mississippi State, or the last week of games that they played. They beat Mississippi State and then beat Kentucky, and this is a team that was 2-4 in the SEC before that, and they've in fact won three of their last four conference games. They won a game at Vandy before that as well. So they've got things moving in the right direction after going through just a gauntlet of a non-conference schedule against a lot of really tough teams. Now they get the cherry on top, that win over Kentucky. Maybe they do feel like they can push towards an NCAA tournament type of season. You know, there's not much room for error left for them, but they do play in the SEC. There's a lot of wins to be had there. They got to go to Kentucky, but outside of that, everything else you'd figure is fairly winnable for this team. So probably more to gain for them from that standpoint. I think when you combine all that, I really don't know. I would just tell you, I don't know what to expect from a motivation factor on either side of the aisle here for both of these teams. That's why I do think there is some intrigue just in, like, what are you going to get from both of these teams in the game? It's such a weird, bizarre game, and weird and bizarre, unfortunately, for this Big 12 SEC Challenge seems to be kind of the name of the game. The whole thing, not exciting, a little bit weird, a little bit odd. The case, and that's what we're going to get with this thing being moved into to late January. When we come back, speaking of that, it sounds like the Big 12 got duped a little bit into this Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll play the audio from Bruce Weber here on the game.